Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of Under Western Stars. I'm your host, Tony Norris, and we're coming to you from the old family ranch at Doney Park out northwest of Flagstaff, Arizona. And today, we're going to the West. Let's start off with a song by Jody Steckler and Kate Brislin. Here's a little piece that I wrote about my grandpa. Gone to Texas. There was a time after the Civil War when a person might need to leave the country on short order with no explanation. Folks would often say that they had gone to Texas. When my grandfather left Crane Creek, Illinois, he did go to Texas. I feel as though 2020 grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and shook me like a terrier shakes a rat. Politics, pandemic, health problems, and issues beyond my control have wrung me out like a dish rag. It's January, and I'm ready to take my chances with a new year. The wind is thin and cold. I stand weak-kneed under my favorite pea tree and watch the eastern sky turn pink and pearl with the daybreak. Two massive ponderosa pine trees guard the skyline. When their 100-foot-tall companion died at the jaws of tiny bark beetles recently, I had a friend cut it down. I brushed snow and sawdust from the broad stump, and I counted the growth rings with the tip of my pocket knife blade. 173 rings. 173 years. The tree was already a thriving sprout, a couple of feet tall, swaddled deep in winter snows, when my grandfather, Henry New Year's Norris, was born on January 1st, 1845, on Crane Creek in Illinois. Not far away at Nauvoo, Illinois, the followers of the late Joseph Smith had built a town that rivaled the population of Chicago. Near Concord, Massachusetts, Henry David Thoreau was packing light to move into a cabin on Walden Pond. Henry's mother survived his birth only to die in the hopeful greenness of April. He was in his teens when his father, Sylvester, married a much younger woman, a pretty Irish lass, not much older than Henry. Now here's where history gets iffy. Two stories were told in my family. The one I like had Grandpa getting involved in a socially unacceptable way with his stepmother and fleeing to establish a new life where he wasn't known. The dark story, which I suspect carries truth, relates how his stepmother, cast in the wicked stepmother mold, tried to poison him with caustic lye concealed in his food. He was reputed to have operated on his own jaw with a straight razor. He wore full face whiskers the rest of his life to cover the resulting scars. I'll never know the reasons, but Henry left home in the middle of a bitter winter. He skated the better part of 70 miles down the frozen Illinois River. He caught a ride with a farmer hauling apples to market and finally borrowed a horse in Arkansas to complete his journey to north central Texas. He was looking for his birth mother's family, the Teeters. He found them west of Fort Worth in the process of raising a log cabin at the edge of the limitless prairie. A Comanche raiding party has been sighted in the area. So he and his new family led their horses into the center of their large cornfield and tied them up for the night. The Indians attacked that night and left feathered arrows buried deeply in the new-cut logs of the cabin. The next day, Henry was part of the posse that followed the raiders onto the trackless Llano Estacado. Soon, they were surrounded by a waving sea of grass with nary a landmark for reference. They turned back. Henry New Year's established himself as a carpenter and a woodworker in his new home. He made beautiful furniture on a great wheel lathe of his own construction. He built houses and churches. he would place his large dome-roofed tool chest on a wheelbarrow and push it to the job site, and it would stay there until the building was completed. He was installing desks at the Harmony School one day when one of the big girls, 20 years his junior, persisted in smiling at him. She became my grandma. I wonder what Grandpa thought about observing the new year. Did it bring closure to the issues of the previous one? How did he engage the construct of time? Did he see it as a chance to start anew, or just another day to labor? I could sure use a dose of his wisdom now. There were a lot of reasons for going to the West. One of them was to find your fortune, to make a big killing. And in 1849, gold was discovered in California, and a lot of people went out to try to find their fortune. Here's a song that dates from those days. It's called The Days of 49. I'm old Tom Moore from the Bummer's Shore, a relic of bygone days. They call me a drunk and a gin sot too, but what care I for praise? It's oft times, boys, that I recall, oft times I repine, for the days of old when we dug up the gold, the days of 49. I had comrades then, a saucy set. They were rough, I must confess, but staunch and true, as brave as steel, like hunters from the West. But they, like many another fish, have now run out their line. Like good old bricks, they stood the kicks in the days of 49. Oh, the days of old, the days of gold, it's oft times I repine. For the days of old when we dug up the gold, the days of 49. There was New York Jake, the butcher's boy. He was fond of getting tight. Whenever he got in the drink, he was looking for a fight. One night he ran into a knife in the hands of old Jeff Klein, and over Jake we held awake in the days of 49. Oh, the days of old, the days of gold, it's oft times I refine. For the days of old when we dug up the gold, the days of 49. There was Rackensack Jim, who could outroar a buffalo bull, you bet. He could roar all night and roar all day. He might be roaring yet. One night he fell into a hole. 'Twas roaring bad design. And in that hole he roared out his soul, in the days of 49. Oh, the days of old, the days of gold, it's oft times I repine. For the days of old, when we dug up the gold, the days of 49. There was a game that we played when I was a child. It began when one of the kids would say, I'm going out west. Do you want to go with me? And of course, the response was yes. Two or any number of children could play. And you would be asked what you wanted to bring with you. You can bring two items with you. And one kid would say, well, I want to bring my pocket knife and a box of crackers. Another would say, I'm going to bring a needle and thread and a book of poems. And then the next thing you did was you asked, what are you going to do with what you brought with you? Well, I'm going to take my pocket knife and I'm going to make a spoon. And I'm going to take my crackers and I'm going to sit down and eat the whole box of crackers. And then each child would apply those actions to the items that they brought. I'm going to take my needle and thread and I'm going to make a spoon. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to eat my book of poetry. And we were endlessly entertained by the juxtaposition of strange actions and objects. I'm sure that we inherited this game from my parents. My dad was always going to go somewhere. And for many, many years, he was going to go to Arkansas. Now, that was east of where we were living, but it was the same principles applying, going to a new country, maybe a better situation. He would order realty catalogs from Strout Realty. And he would look over those realty catalogs and they would have postings like 85-acre farm, house, buildings, dug well, 10 cattle, 15 hogs, 75 chickens, 2 mules, $1,300. And Daddy would daydream about his move to Arkansas. He'd say, there's going to be so much game, you can just step off the back porch and shoot a deer and hang the carcass up there on the back porch and every morning go out and cut off a big, thick steak and fry it up for your breakfast. Arkansas would be heaven for Henry Brantley Norris. Eventually, in 1965, he did sell our 11 acres in the old stone schoolhouse, and he went to Arkansas and bought a farm. For weeks and weeks before the move was made, my sister Joanne would gather us kids together in the kitchen, and she would say, now what are we going to need to take when we move? And she would make a list, and we would list all of the things that we could not afford to leave behind, that we would want to take with us, and right down to the snacks we were going to eat, and the dogs, and we spent hours and hours in that exercise of deciding what we were going to take with us when we moved. Now, Arkansas was a wondrous new world to me. It was not quite the nirvana that my dad had hoped it would be. And after a few years, he returned to Texas.
Say, pard, have you sighted a schooner alongside the Santa Fe Trail? They made it here Monday or sooner, with the water kicked tied to the rail. With Ma and Pa on the jump seat, some we're alongside the way. A tow-headed gal on a pinto, just a jangling for old Santa Fe. Yo-ho, just a jangling for old Santa Fe. Yo-ho, just a jangling for old Santa Fe. I saw her ride down the Arroyo, way back on the Arkansas sand, with a smile like an acre of sunflowers and a little brown quirt in her hand. She saddled her pony so airy, she rode like she carried the mail, and her eyes near set fire to the prairie alongside the Santa Fe Trail. Yo-ho, alongside the Santa Fe Trail. Alongside the Santa Fe Trail. I know a gal on the border, I'd ride to El Paso to sight. I'm acquainted with the high stepping order, and I've sometimes kissed some gals goodnight. But to me they're all beaten in ruffles, afternoon tea by the pail, compared to the kind of stampede I got on the Santa Fe Trail. Yo-ho, did I get on the Santa Fe Trail? Yo-ho, I don't know her name and the prairie. When it comes to one gal's awful wide, but it's shorter from Hale to Hilaree than it is on that Santa Fe ride. I'll maybe make Cedars by sunset, camping maybe in the swale. I'll come on a gal on a pin side of that Santa Fe Trail. Yo-ho, alongside of that Santa Fe Trail. Yo-ho, alongside of that Santa Fe Trail.
Here's a poem by my friend Vess Quinlan. Lives in southern Colorado, and he's looking forward to spring. A gentle agony, not really painful. It does not tear, but it nibbles and complains like a child too tired to eat. I am not frightened or confused. I know what it is. I know I can suppress and survive it. But I should be impatient, pushing winter on its way, wanting the brown earth to crawl out and awaken from its white sleep. I should be looking for tender green grass on south slopes, wearying about late storms, men, tractors, wind, wet calves, scours, and getting heavy ewes in at dark. I have no worries, only an annoying tension growing stronger as spring approaches. It is nearly planting time, and I am in the city. Here's a song that may be familiar to you about heading west. It's called Sweet Betsy from Pike. This is how I remember it. Now don't you remember Sweet Betsy from Pike, who crossed the big mountains with her lover Ike, with two yoke of oxen and a big yeller dog, a tall Shanghai rooster and one spotted hog, singing tularai, ularai, ularai. One evening quite early they camped on the Platte, down by the road on a green shady flat, where Betsy got tired and lay down to repose. And Ike, he just gazed at his Pike County rose, singing tularai, ularai, ularai. Well, they soon reached the desert where Betsy gave out. Down in the sand she lay rolling about, while Ike in great tears looked on in surprise. He said, Betsy, get up, you'll get sand in your eyes, singing tularai, ularai, ularai. Well, the Shanghai ran off and the cattle all died. The last piece of bacon that morning was fried. Ike got discouraged and Betsy got mad. The dog wagged his tail and looked wonderfully sad, singing tularai, ularai, ularai. Well, a miner said, Betsy, will you dance with me? I will now, old hoss, if you don't make too free. But don't dance me hard. Do you want to know why? Doggone you, I'm chock full of strong alkali, singing tularai, ularai, ularai. Ike and Sweet Betsy got married, of course, but Ike, getting jealous, obtained the divorce. Betsy, well satisfied, said with a shout, goodbye, you big lummox, I'm glad you backed out, singing tularai, ularai, ularai. Singing tularai, ularai, ularai. Folks, I want to thank you for once again tuning in to Under Western Stars. I'm Tony Norris, and I'll look forward to visiting with you again soon. If you haven't gone to the West,